lost to ignorance and confusion, three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
And good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. It's episode number, are you ready? 162.
Yay.
Oh, the crowd goes wild. And the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We've got brand new songwriters. We have established professionals and everything in between. And we share our tips and techniques and things that we do together. And then we all get better at writing songs. You can find us every Tuesday at 7 o'clock on the live stream. songtalk.ca/livestream. If you can't get to a radio, if you're in the Toronto downtown area, get to a radio. I told you that already, didn't I? CJRU, 1280 AM.
Like a wet old machine.
I don't think I mentioned that. Okay, I'm your host. is it? CJRU, 1280 AM, Toronto.
Yes, welcome, Bruce.
I'm your host, Bruce Harrett, and joining me tonight, we'll catch it in the edit, as always, the intrepid members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team, Mr. Neil Modi.
Greetings, Bruce, and by the way, I'm not editing that. I'm going to leave it just the way it is, all natural.
Yes, always. And Mr. Phil Emery.
And I'm here, and I'm all natural.
And he just moved. Bravely managing our social media onslaught. I think that's over promise. Anyway, Vanessa Vreeland.
Hey, Vanessa.
Vreeland. And running the board. We call it the board. It's actually the mixing console. We have Eitan Ryan.
Yeah, she's actually running the show.
She's running the show. During the show, join in the conversation. Send your comments and questions to @SongTalkRadio on Twitter. And we'll share them with the audience in real time. And please stop by our website. Why? Because why not?
It's awesome.
At SongTalk. What will they... Neil, tell them what they'll find there.
They'll find a whole whack load of stuff.
Yeah. A lot of stuff. Songtalk.ca. And you can also find out how to be a guest on our show, like Jeremy Volz did. He went there and he found out that he could just push in a few buttons and away his. He would be on. And here he is. He's originally from Cleveland, Ohio. Jeremy started playing drums, guitar, and singing covers at campfires. Campfires? Mm-hmm. In your backyard or at camp? Summer camp.
All over the place.
Oh, everywhere. Wherever he started, he was a bit of a, what do they call that, an arson? No, when he, like, fires all over the neighborhood?
You can't prove that.
No, okay. that has yet to be proven in a court of law. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he did a lot of campfire singing. He played in bands, Irish punk to jazz quartets. He moved to Toronto to get his PhD in math, which is very helpful when you're a songwriter, by the way. And during that time, we'll talk about that later, right? Because it is... music is math. And during that time, he joined Countermeasure, a 14-member vocal group, which has informed much of his songwriting, and his knowledge of harmony. His songwriting bridges a variety of genres, among folk, rock, punk, and soul. Welcome, Jeremy Volz.
Wow.
Yay.
Big round of applause for Jeremy.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming here tonight. And I hear you're just headed to Vancouver with Countermeasure?
Yeah. We're heading there on Friday for a 10-day tour of Vancouver area.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, for our friends listening in the western Vancouver area, what club would they likely or venue would they find you in?
You just head to countermeasuremusic.ca/.com and find that out yourself, because I...
.ca/.com?
Yeah, one of those.
Either way?
Just Google it.
Yeah, Countermeasure Music. And you will find that out yourself.
So the whole schedule is there?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
Okay. That means he can't remember it.
No, that's exactly what that means.
That means it's on the internet, so he doesn't have to remember it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, speed dial. I can't remember any phone numbers anymore.
It's
all on speed dial.
Yes.
That's true.
Thank you. Yes. So, what have you been writing lately?
Yeah, good question. Lately, I've been trying to actually go back to half ideas that I've had over the years and see if there's anything decent there.
How do you store those halves?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've got a lot of really random sounding voice notes on my phone that are just me walking down like Queen Street singing strange things and people giving me weird looks.
Some of them shouldn't in this city. People are doing that all the time.
That's true. Yeah.
Every day.
When you're on Bluetooth.
So you got little pieces. Do you log them and say what the title is or anything?
Yeah. I'll try to give descriptive titles like, Wrong With Me, Crazy High Part or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to Untitled, the way most of us.
Untitled 1, Untitled 2.
And so we've seen you a number of times at the Songwriters Meetup, and each time you've brought a song composed in a different style. So you're obviously very versatile. And are you on a journey just to figure out what's your favorite, or you just like writing in all those equally, those styles?
That's a good question. It's tricky because...
I had three good questions. So
in a row.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done. Thank you. I like listening to a lot of different music, and so when I write, I just want to make stuff that I like. Mm-hmm. And I'm not putting much thought right at the moment into what will like sell or what's good or what people want to hear. It's just, oh man, I love, you know, this thing that's happening in this jazz tune and I want to see if I can recreate that or something like that. So I'm really just bouncing around genres. I don't really have a favorite, to be honest.
So your songwriting started when? How old were you when you wrote your first song?
Definitely, it was in high school. I was a drummer, but I joined choir and I started singing. And then I was like, well, if I'm going to sing, I need to learn guitar. So it doesn't really work that well to play drums and sing.
Neil has tried it.
You can also talk to Phil Collins.
Triumph, the band, Canadian band Triumph, had a drummer as the main singer, and I thought that was weird. And also the Eagles.
Don Henley.
And the band.
Yeah. Well,
they probably play piano. I mean, Phil Collins plays piano for sure.
But it's still an anomaly, mostly.
Yeah. It is odd.
Yeah.
So you did that. You picked up the guitar.
Yeah. And then I tried my hand at writing some songs and entered, like, Battle of the Bands competitions and didn't do very well.
Was this back in Cleveland?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dear old Cleveland.
That's actually an interesting question, though, because, like, there's a lot of people out there who are simply singers. Mm-hmm. Let me say simply singers, but who are solely singers. Mm-hmm. And you guys think in order to be a songwriter, you actually need to adopt an instrument?
It isn't.
So you can develop harmonies and that sort of thing?
One, it's such a different skill, because I am a vocalist, I think, first and foremost, and songwriting has been much harder journey than singing. I think trying a bunch of different instruments is really helpful. I like to write on stuff that I'm not that comfortable with. So you don't have to get amazing at something, but you do need access to the
fundamentals. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely some music theory helps a little bit.
Right.
How did you learn your structure, chord progression, and all that? Did you study theory?
Yeah. No, I just went down the rabbit hole of learning songs I liked on guitar. I went through a John Mayer phase and learned every John Mayer song that existed. And he uses really advanced chord voicings.
He does. Yeah, yeah.
Crazy stuff. So it really, you have to stop and be like, wait, what is happening here? And I feel like by asking those questions, I kind of had to reach out.
Did you have a theoretical background before you started playing guitar from school? Or?
No, no theory. Yeah, because I was just in high school. I took one guitar lesson, but I just learned out of books and off of, like, you know, tabs online.
No, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you take a John Mayer song, would you go to, like, Chordy or something and find out what someone thought the chords were first?
There was this website. It's gone now. It was, like, old, like, GeoCities site or something like that back in the heyday of the internet. and somebody had, I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like a research project. This should be a PhD. Tabbed out, like, perfectly so many John Mayer songs. And, again, they're crazy. I think they watched videos and watched hand placements and, like, nailed every note. And it was unbelievable because you knew exactly what was written was exactly right. You didn't have to do any guessing as a beginner, which was really helpful.
Mm. That's the most frustrating thing when people buy sheet music.
Yeah.
Is it's often kind of dumbed down.
It is.
And I guess my ear was always pretty sensitive, and I would get very frustrating because I'd buy this, you know, Supertramp book or, you know, whatever I was listening to at the time. And I'd play it on the guitar, and I'm going, well, this isn't right.
Yeah,
but this it usually says for easy guitar, easy piano.
Yeah, and it's kind of like and, you know, tabs were great. But, of course, before the tabs, you actually had to sit there with, like, a record player and play it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And the weirdest thing is the mastering wasn't all – like, sometimes they would speed something up if they wanted to make something feel a bit more lively in the mastering stage. So stuff was actually fast, like a little bit faster than it was recorded.
Hmm.
or slower sometimes than recorded.
Wouldn't that pitch it up a little bit as well?
Yeah,
and pitch it up as well. So like you had to retune your guitar all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So learning someone's song was a really it took a lot of work. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So Jeremy, how has mathematics helped you, or how has it served you in any way in your songwriting?
I think not directly, but certainly abstractly, in that, you know, mathematics is all about how to attack a problem. To be honest, that's really what I consider the best part of mathematics is problem solving, and that certainly happens in music. You know, I mean, what are the fundamental pieces? What are the fundamental challenges to writing a song or fixing this thing or making this work, or you know, connecting this verse to this bridge?
But it doesn't help, does it? I mean, I guess that the mathematics of songwriting are pretty simple: intervals, number of bars, quarter, eighth, 16th. Is that too simple for the kind of math you study? Like it's pretty simple, right? It's arithmetic.
Well,
when
you're looking at it like that, it's kind of easy to say math equals music, but there's a lot more to it, obviously, than that, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, but the other thing, like especially like we're going to hear a couple of your songs shortly, but your songs are highly structured,
yeah,
right? Like that's kind of it's very much a left brain kind of enterprise when your songs are highly structured.
Yeah.
What is your process? Are you writing every day or?
I try to do some. Well, like I said, so for the last couple of weeks, I'm just trying to edit, really. I go through stages of trying to pour out lyrics and things like that, and then trying to edit. I try to do a little bit every day. You know, some days you don't, but
yeah.
You know, I don't really ascribe to the wait for inspiration thing. I think there's always work you can be doing on something you've left or something that you're not quite happy with, or just go back and.
Do you ever go back to old stuff and be like, "This is garbage. I'm not going to bother," or does most of it, salvageable into something? Right?
Yeah, I like
tell the truth, Jeremy.
Yeah, there are some things where it's just this is just a write off. Yeah, I want to forget that I ever thought that was a good idea. Usually there's something
there's some nugget in there.
There's something.
Yeah.
Even just a line.
I always like it where the ones where you can't actually remember how to play it. Then you have to sit there and kind of like, you know, relearn your own song and going, well, that's a D. What the hell am I doing?
It's never a problem for me because I record in MIDI.
Well, that's true.
Should we hear something?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we're going to hear a song by Jeremy Volz written and performed by him live in the studio here at CJRU 1280 FM.
Should I press the button now?
Yeah. We're going to record this and... we're recording this for our YouTube channel as well. And this one's called In the Clear. Here's Jeremy Volz.
Hey, man, look who's here. We've been waiting for ya. Hey, man, you're in the clear. What's your name, soldier? You've been out in the rough. We've been waiting for ya. Peter must have had enough. And you're no holy roller. Hey man, you're in the clear. We've been waiting for ya. So wake up, wake up. Carry on, soldier. Hey man, you made it home. But you ain't how it left you. Ain't on your own. Peter's here to test you. You've been out in the rough. We've been waiting for ya. I know you ain't had enough. We ain't here to mourn ya. Hey man, you're in the clear. We've been waiting for ya. So wake up, wake up. Carry on, soldier. You got to be the one to be strong. So show me that blue-eyed man. Show me your eyes and take my hand. Do only what you can. You gotta sit before you can stand. Hey man, you're in the clear. So wake up.
Ah, woo. Gorgeous.
Beautiful.
And that was in the clear, Jeremy Volz on CJRU AM, 1280 AM in Toronto. That is a really cool song. Is that about Jesus?
Thanks. No, no.
No, no, because no. I was thinking St. Peter and Peter and then that in the rough and he's a soldier. And but they, anyway, I really... Is the verse got the same melody as the chorus?
It's
similar.
Very similar.
It's close, yeah.
But it's definitely different by the way you've handled it. I mean, it's certainly clear. I love how you rhymed waiting for ya and like for ya and soldier.
Yeah, it's hard to write out the lyrics to this because you're like, that doesn't look like a rhyme at all.
Yeah, but actually it is. It's a really, I guess it's called a soft rhyme. But it's...
So who's the soldier? Who is this?
Yeah, so this is a song I wrote about a month ago. My dad had a heart attack over the holidays, and he's recovered and okay now, but it was a scary 5 days in the ICU. But I knew... this song was kind of... and he's a veteran, and I just thought back to sort of his history and the time that he was in the VA in the, 70s. And so this was the song that popped in my head as he was just about to wake up after the sedatives are wearing off and everything's kind of going to be okay. Mm. And learning that news, so this is kind of what came out.
Mm-hmm. Who's Peter?
Yeah. Yeah, that is the allusion to Jesus, you called it. Yeah. Well, it's Peter at the gates.
Yeah.
But the line is sort of, Peter must have had enough, you're no holy roller, which is kind of just saying like Peter would have been sick of your stuff, go back down.
Peter at the pearly gates, so we're going to let him live.
Yeah, yeah.
You're saying, keep going. Yeah, that's a lovely, what a great inspiration for a song. That's really nice.
It's interesting, though, because the inclusion of the soldier element, it really suggests that it's maybe a family waiting for their son, brother, whatever, to come back from war. And
I certainly recognize that. Yeah, I didn't want to rule that out, I guess.
I think it's interesting that and anyone can read whatever they kind of want into this. Yeah. And someone with that kind of story of someone who just maybe recovered from any kind of hardship. Mm-hmm.
Your dad has blue eyes? Is he the blue eyed?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, great. You have a great hook. In your chorus, we've been waiting for you, really great. And I loved what you did. For one thing, you have pre-chorus. So when we do our pre-chorus show, we can include one of these songs because we're looking for songs with pre-choruses. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, you can get the lyrics for this and the other song tonight at songtalk.ca.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You must provide your own bouncing ball, however.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. I love the what you did at the end, how you... you had the Carry On Soldier, but you sort of played with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you kind of expanded on it. It's great.
A little falsetto.
And what was great is every time you went through a line, like you never just kind of repeated a line. There was very subtle variations from time to time.
Yeah.
And I noticed that in the recording, which is also fantastic as well.
Thanks.
So that's your jazz influence, right?
Yeah.
The improvisation on a line. Or do you play it, do you sing it the same every night?
I feel like that's more sort of blues. No, I sing every time I open my mouth. I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, you do it differently.
Yeah, it's different every time.
And you know the cool thing when you write your own songs? Mm-hmm. Nobody can say it's wrong.
That's the thing.
They don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
They
just have to look confident. That's all that matters.
There is a lot of, we've been waiting for you.
Yeah, a lot
of
repetition.
There's a lot of, and I'm wondering why that line in particular, you decided to repeat in the verse, in the chorus.
They thought he was going to die. They're waiting, right? They've been waiting for him to wake up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that it? I don't know.
It's
really important.
Basically, it was amazing how many hours of waiting it was. It was like, could be any minute now. And then I think it was about a full 24 hours of us just sitting next to the bed, just waiting. Yeah, but I mean, it was great when
Did he have a bypass or something?
But, he had a stent put in, but he had to be, helicoptered to the hospital. It was a big thing. It was very scary.
I had a heart attack a few years ago. I have two stents. Mm. And, if somebody had written a song like that for me, what's wrong with you guys? Oh, I didn't know you then.
I didn't know you then.
Oh, I didn't know you then. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Somebody could have written me that's a lovely thing to do. He's heard the song, obviously.
Nope, not yet.
What?
You've got a recording.
I've got a radio show where I'm debuting it.
There you go.
Is Dad listening?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, hello,
hi,
Jeremy, Dad.
Hi. What's his name?
Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Is he on Twitter?
Yeah.
No. Hey, Jim, that one was for you.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
amazing.
Fun.
So, Neil, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. There's an amazing energy to it. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting that we have. I'm going to this point recently a little bit more. We have the lyric sheet in front of us, mm-hmm. right? And so we know that this is the pre-chorus and the chorus and everything. Yeah. And each section does stand out, but there's still a kind of consistency between the sections that carries the same energy throughout. You did an interesting thing where even the verse pre-chorus almost sounds like it's the same kind of bass riff, but you left a little more space in the verse in between the lines, and then kind of, and then by the time you got to the chorus, you're a little bit more tighter with the lines. So there's definitely a difference there because the we've been waiting for you comes up in the verse, it comes up in the pre-chorus, and it comes up in the chorus.
Yeah.
So you're thinking it's the same section, but wait a minute, there's something different yeah. going on here. So it really, you know, it's kind of full of those sorts of little twists and surprises.
Yeah, and it's a song that I definitely wrote with a band in mind, and I can hear the drums and stuff, and that right. really differentiate the sections. And I think when I played on acoustic guitar, I am scared that the sections all sound the same.
You know what? The song's only 2.5 minutes. Do you want to play the recording as well? We got time. Just for a AB?
Well,
do you mind?
Sure, I'm okay with that.
Let's do it. We got it there.
For the first time on Song Talk Radio.
In the clear. No, I think we've done it before.
We've done it before.
Once.
Yeah.
Have we done it before?
Here we go. This is in the clear, recorded and sung by Jeremy Volz.
Hey, man, look who's here. We've been waiting for ya. Hey, man, you're in the clear. What's your name, soldier? For ya, Peter must have had enough. You're no holy roller. Hey man, you're in the clear. We've been waiting for ya. So wake up, wake up. Carry on, soldier. Hey man, you made it home, but you ain't.
Was in the clear, Jeremy Volz, for the first time heard anywhere, I guess.
And that would
send that out to Jim Volz. And so glad that you have recovered your health and many more years of happiness and joy for you, Jim.
So I'm actually curious about the chord structure.
Okay.
So the verse chord structure and the chorus chord structure, are they at least starting on the same chord, or are they?
Yeah, same chord. As
play
one.
A couple on the
yeah.
guitar there if you
sure,
like.
Sure. Yeah. 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 So. You know, the song's in A. There's a lot of flat 7,
yes.
which is the classic rock chord kind of thing. You know, but in the chorus, it goes down to the 4 chord that you're missing in that verse. You're missing that major feel.
Right, right. The resolution.
Yeah. The verse chords only ever use that flat 7 in the 2 chord.
Okay. Ah, right.
So it's that major 4 chord, which is
Right, and then when you're adding that major chord in the chorus, that's on the wake up.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you make a conscious decision not to have a lot of contrast between the various sections of the thing, or was it more just poured out of you that way?
Yeah, it's sort of just what happened, I would say. I have ideas of very disparate things and voice notes of like, what if it did this? And none of them worked well. And I was like, you know what? I like what's there, and I don't mind just tweaking that a little bit.
It's more anthemic this way, in a way. Like I could imagine a whole audience cheering and singing along with this in a bar or something.
So one of the inspirations for this band-wise, the sound that I sort of wanted, I didn't quite hit it, but the Decemberists were sort of influenced.
Love them.
And so I just listened to a few of their songs and kind of song structure and was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I don't think
drums.
I need to go too crazy with where it needs to move.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, Neil, what'd you think of the drums, the MIDI drums?
Oh, they were amazing.
Oh, thank you.
See, I always compliment. Neil is a producer, a music producer as well, and what I really notice is that his drums sound better than non-drummers doing producing, right? So, because you have to be able to play. Like, if you can play an instrument, it's not like you have to plug in the machine and go click the thing, drums. You have to lay them in, and your stuff is so tasty.
Thank you, Bruce. And it's the same thing with anything. I mean, the guys that we had this discussion a couple of weeks ago with Alon and company that were doing orchestral music. It helps if you know how an orchestra is put together. You can have the greatest, string instruments on your computer, but if you don't know how the parts go together.
They're the tools.
That's the big part about when you learn composition is you actually learn what the instruments kind of do and where they sit in the stage and how they work together.
It's amazing how many songs by, sort of beginner producers I'll hear where it's like, a drummer would never play that. That's just not, it almost is impossible even for a drummer to play.
Like it was 2 feet and 2 hands.
There's anything wrong with that because you say that goes into house music or experimental.
Yeah,
if it's EDM, if it's clearly electronic,
if it's something like rock, I mean, it feels sort of off and kind of jilted.
If it's supposed to be emulating a live, real thing, then.
So, Phil, tell us what's coming up in the next few weeks here.
Well, for those of you just joining us on Song Talk Radio, I'm reading this off of a very pale piece of paper. for those of you just joining us, so you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce Neil and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto and streamed live on songtalk.ca/livestream. Tonight, our guest is Jeremy Bowles. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so tweet us in your thoughts to Song Talk Radio on Twitter or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca. We will share your thoughts in real time and you'll be famous just like us. And you can always find all the links to all the products, books, and services we mention here on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And coming up on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, we have March. Next week, we'll be performing Rights, special theme show. And what's on the
weekend? Who's our special guest that night, Phil? Are we allowed to say that?
No, we're not, actually.
Oh, is it going to be a surprise?
It's going to be a surprise.
Okay. Cool.
And if you are in the Toronto area, please join us for our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup on Sunday, March 26th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Transact Club. It's free to join on Meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all those details. Back to you, Brucey.
Oh, thank you, Philly. So you've been, Jeremy, you've been to our Songwriters Roundtable a few times.
Yeah.
Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your experience as a songwriter there?
I absolutely became addicted to it. Going right on. Once, it was just, it's such a supportive group. It's amazing. You're going to hear a variety of things, and the comments are so thoughtful. Mm-hmm. And just, people are just really there to help and to... They listen, they give great feedback, so I just love it. I'll be there on the 26th. If you haven't been there, please come.
And get there early if you want. Like we start at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, right? So you got to really be there by quarter to 1 to sign up. We only have room for about 12, 14 singers.
But you don't necessarily have to present a song. There's some people who just come and they listen.
If you want to present a song, be sure to show up a little
Show up early before. Because those go pretty quickly. And, of course, if you've never written a song before, you're welcome to come and hear what songwriters go through. Maybe you're just going to start out. We've seen some of our friends, kind of friends of the roundtable, started out, and they were really, remember Alon?
Alon,
4 years ago, was it? You know, he just raw talent, and he kept coming back, and he collaborated with people in the group, mm-hmm. and we've seen bands form, yes. Aditya.
Yeah.
I mentioned that while we're talking about Adi, Bay Shelter.
Yeah, so our band, the band that I'm part of, Bay Shelter, that I play percussion for, and we were on the show here back in November, I think, when we released our first album, for which I was also a producer. We're having our physical CD release party at the Opera House this coming Friday.
8 o'clock?
Doors open at 8 o'clock. I think we're on just after 9.
Yep.
There's a few bands on the bill. There's one of the bands on the bill is One in the Chamber. They've been a guest on the show
a little while ago. 13, maybe?
Perhaps. Maybe 14.
Yeah.
Something like that. It was a while back.
It's $15 at the door?
It's $20 at the door. It's $15. If you go to eventbrite.ca, it's on the front page there.
Look for Bay Shelter.
Bay Shelter.
Yeah.
And, get your ticket in advance. And actually, all the proceeds that we're earning, I can't speak for any the other bands, but mm-hmm. all the proceeds that we're earning, we're actually donating to the Canadian Mental Health Association.
Wonderful.
Very
kind
nice.
Of
a big thing
Wonderful.
For
us. And the next night, Friday night, sorry, the next... No,
the previous night on Thursday.
I'll be performing with Neil and Tom from Bay Shelter and one of the guests from our show, Paul Voss.
Yes.
In my band debut, I'll be lead singer doing all originals at the Libertarian Public House at
Very
Sherman
exciting.
And Queen. So on Thursday night, that you should get there around 7:30, hang in, have a beer, and we're going to have mm-hmm. fun there.
Yeah.
Anybody else got a gig? Vanessa?
And of course, there's an open mic after the show on Thursday, right?
That's right. Our friend Eric Sorensen is running that Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Every Thursday night at the Libertarian Public House is open
nice.
Mic. Come in at 7:30, sign up. He puts on about 12 people.
That's great.
And it's a great little room. Nice sound system, too.
Good. Doing open mics is a great way of actually gaining experience performing, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because...
no pressure.
Generally, yeah, well, in general, you're with other songwriters, so they're, you know, other songwriters are very forgiving.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So you don't, so it's not like going in front of a big crowd or something. Yeah, yeah. It's just
for me, I love open mics because I feel like a lot of my songwriting comes out of playing live. I feel like you don't realize when a song really or when a lyric really isn't working or
oh,
just corny
yeah.
until you have to face a room full of 20 people and say it, and then you realize, oh God,
man,
I need to change that.
It's amazing. Yeah, yeah. You can actually just feel when you lose the audience.
Yeah.
Nothing changes. People don't usually throw things, but you'll just be like, you'll be there, and suddenly the energy is gone, and you're just like, okay, that song does not work.
Yeah, it's amazing how many, like, yeah, it's like, oh, you know, I did the chorus one too many times there, or, yeah. you know, I, yeah.
Mm. Right, because you're sort of identifying with the audience as you sing, right?
Yeah.
I wonder what they're...
You feed off their energy.
You just get the vibe off of them.
Yeah.
But you don't want to let that get in the way either, because, you know, I mean, this the Libertarian Public House is obviously there's locals in there, and they'll talk through our whole show, just to warn you, right?
Yeah.
And that's okay, mm-hmm. because we're not, it's not a concert hall, it's a bar, right? Mm. So it's fine, it'll be fun. But when you lose them, what does it feel like when you get them? I haven't had
it's
that
amazing.
Yet.
Yeah. It's an amazing feeling, man. Yeah. When you get...
ecstasy.
When they're with you.
When we started playing London, we got played on the college radio station a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So people actually knew the lyrics of our songs.
Oh, man.
And that was really cool. And
wow.
we had a couple of things where we had these... I make use of stops and kind of sometimes a bit schlocky kind of hook type things. And mm-hmm. people would kind of pump their fist in time, and it was pretty amazing. Actually.
Was this the Parkdale Hookers?
It was the Hookers.
The Hookers,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and it was it's an amazing feeling, actually. But there's nothing worse than doing a bad gig. It's part of the, you have to do a bad gig once in a while.
Oh, yeah. We've had those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Playing to nobody.
But nobody tries to do a bad gig. I mean, you do your best, right? And it's the mixture of the personalities in the audience that, you know.
At a certain point, if there's three people in the audience, just go, you know what, guys, this is a rehearsal. Let's just do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're playing for yourself at that point.
I got one paid gig when I was living in Whistler years ago, and this guy came up to me at the halftime. I was playing sensitive folk songs in a sports bar. That was a bad idea. But anyway, I had to convince the manager to turn the sound off on the various sports, and she was begrudgingly doing that. Anyway, this guy comes over. You got to play faster songs. You got to play faster. Yeah, I think he had a lot to drink. So I came back from the break, and I played my mid-tempo. I don't have any fast songs. Like, do you have fast songs? And so I'm into my second song. I see the guy. He's giving me the finger and walking out of the bar.
Oof.
After that, I could do anything.
Ooh, yeah.
We got a tweet in from Mr. Tony Burns. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hi.
What's the time again for the Libertarian open mic?
Okay. So
doors are at...
show up at 7:30. The feature goes on at 8. That would be myself and my band. And then right after that, they go right into the open mic, and that'll go for a good 2 hours probably.
Plus, yeah.
Right. Should be on the website for the Libertarian Public House. Libertarian, like the
Party.
Political party, yeah. Mm-hmm. But let's get back to Jeremy Volz. Why don't we hear another song from you?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Do you want to play it on your guitar?
Cool. Let's try it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, great. So, did you want to say anything about this other song? It's called "Wrong with Me," or you wrote it on Queen Street, obviously.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Obviously, that's where I write everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one's also similarly. I'm really groove based when I write. I write sort of from a groove and from the drums because that's what I know. Mm-hmm. So this song is another one of it's kind of funky and a little hard to translate to acoustic, but I'll do my best. But hear a drum part behind it.
Yeah. Just imagine the drums.
Yeah, imagine.
So here's Jeremy Volz with his original tune called
"Wrong with Me." You know the pressure is on and strong enough to feel it. I got the shiver and shake that takes you when the lights go out. And if you're trying to say my way leaves you reeling, because it's me, I won't see the forest for the trees. So let me think a minute. Let me think a minute. Let me think a minute. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Tell me, is there something that's wrong with me? 'Cause everything is harder than it seems. Tell me, is there something that's wrong with me? 'Cause nothing really happens in my dreams. I gotta put it to bed, this head full of demons. It keeps rumbling on till dawn when the sun comes up. And in the light of day, my way's looking clearer. But just 'cause I see, doesn't mean that I really believe. So let me think a minute. Let me think a minute. Let me think a minute. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Tell me, is there something that's wrong with me? 'Cause everything is harder than it seems. Tell me, is there something that's wrong with me? 'Cause nothing really happens in my dreams. Wake up in the morning with get up and go, sinking back to the bottom with the undertow. Dim the lights off nights with the warm glow. You gotta go with the flow, don't let your seam show. Tell me, is there something that's wrong with me? 'Cause everything is harder than it seems. Is there something that's wrong with me? 'Cause nothing really happens in my dreams. Oh, tell me, is there something that's wrong with me? 'Cause nothing really happens in my dreams. Oh, tell me, is there something that's wrong with me? 'Cause everything is harder than it seems.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
There we go. That's wrong with me. Jeremy Volz, that is a very cool song. You know, that's
one thing I want to mention.
Master.
You should go to the website and download the lyrics. If for nothing else, as this is possibly the best lyric sheet that anyone has actually presented.
Thank you.
I did an article actually on writing good lyric sheets.
Yes, lyric sheet that's on
site. And this actually has all the information it has, the title, who it's done by, contact information, copyright information.
Doesn't have the chords.
Really good.
And he's got nice indents. He's indented nice really
yeah.
Well.
Indenting is pretty cool.
Your indenting is great.
This is actually one of those songs that is so catchy and melodically rich that I don't even care what the lyrics are about. Like, it's just great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And a pre-chorus was, now the other pre-chorus was definitely a pre-chorus. But this one was very distinctly a pre-chorus.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It was a very, very different cool kind of part, which is sort of really interesting.
It was the drum part because you were hitting your guitar, right?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You could hear the drum fills.
Which would be, like a bass drum on the recording.
Nice. I love the, check this out on the bridge. Get up and go, undertow, warm glow, don't let your seams show.
Go with
seams
the flow.
On your trousers. Is that the
seams? It's actually like sort of psychologically your seams as you're kind of coming apart.
What do you mean? S-E-A-M, seams, like.
No. I think he means S-E-E-M.
Do you? Or do you mean
he's
the seams?
Oh, yeah,
no, that is a typo.
Yeah. Okay. No, so it's seams, like when you join something together, and that's what people, you don't want people to see that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I love that maximum rhyme in the bridge, because it takes you out of the other
A lot of my rhyme schemes and songs are just A, which I need to move away from.
Well,
a little
no, but in this song, in this song, well, actually, your chorus is A as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but your verses and your pre is, well, yeah, okay.
No, my
point is that the rhyme scheme in the core, in the bridge does feel different because it's maybe a little more frequent and it's O's instead of E's.
Yeah. The rhyme schemes in the verse are, there's sort of this internal rhyme that's happening.
Yeah.
But your chorus is ABAB, right? Me seems, me dreams.
Yeah.
So you're cool. It's a great song. It as I said before, when I heard it live the first time, it reminds me of Stevie Wonder. It's got that groove, and your voice has that kind of groove happening there. And and it's what would you call Stevie Wonder? Funk soul blues,
funk
something
soul, blues,
in
something
there somewhere.
Kind of soul.
I never thought of Stevie Wonder as blues myself.
No, not really blues.
Soul.
But more funk soul.
Funk soul.
R&B.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just names.
Yeah, Stevie Wonder was definitely, like, I had him strongly in mind when I started writing the song.
Oh,
it was pretty much me just setting out to write a Stevie Wonder song, style.
Which is a lot of fun to do. Actually.
Yeah, it's fun.
It comes across
just,
really well.
Yeah, do that.
Mm-hmm. What I like is when you write a song and then you realize, oh, I just written a Smith song.
Mm.
You don't realize it till the end, and you go, oh, wow, this actually sounds like someone else.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Well, and a lot of people make those connections on their own.
Yeah.
They'll say as a singer, oh, you sound like, do I?
Yeah.
Like, I got James Taylor for a long time back when I was singing, like in the 90s, and people say, oh, you sound, no, I don't. And then I actually listened through that filter, and I went, I guess so.
Yeah. You know what the thing is? Especially with someone, if you're copying someone from, decades ago, and a lot of young people today, would be like, who's Stevie Wonder? Who's James Taylor?
Well, that's true.
You know?
But also, if you have, let's say you're doing a folk bit, and you have a little bit of a synthesizer, and it goes, doo-doo, and the only other thing they've ever heard going doo-doo was Devo,
right.
Say, oh, that sounds like Devo.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes it does... You do sound like them, and other times that's the only thing they know that has any kind of.
What do you get, Jeremy? What do people say about your voice?
Yeah, I get John Mayer a lot. John Mayer.
That's because you sing his entire repertoire
all
the time.
Yeah.
That probably is a hint.
And my songwriting was really shaped by him when I was younger. So then it's like, oh boy, I really just shouldn't do exactly what John Mayer does.
Yeah.
So I had to sort of push away from
and don't do what he does in his private life. It's just too much. It's too tiring. All those.
That's true. Yeah.
All those at the dating. A lot of dating.
A lot of dating. A lot of dating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Phil, what do you think of that tune?
It's another perfectly written song. You have very carefully thought out lines. I mean, it's we have some people who come in and they're very natural writers, and they just they just kind of sit and they play, and whatever comes out, and that's sort of it. Whereas your stuff is very thoughtful. Like, every line is planned out, thought out. Your variations are very clear.
It's highly crafted.
And there's there's a real sort of story, even like within the verses. There's sort of definitely, dynamic ranges. Your pre-chorus, dynamic range. Going from low to high, and the choruses, and even when you repeat your choruses, you're not just repeating your choruses; they're actually getting bigger. And you did that even with just a voice and a guitar, which is really important. And a lot of people don't make use of dynamics. And when I've worked with bands, the thing it's always hard for them to understand is, if you want to sound louder, what you do is you play softer.
Right, yeah.
Because then when you play loud, you sound that much louder.
Yeah.
But people think, oh, no, we got to go
louder and then louder.
100% all the time. Yeah. But that just becomes tiring.
Yeah.
And this is the place where open mics really help, again, bringing that song to an open mic. You see, oh, yep, that's just too loud, or,
You brought this to the round table, right?
Yeah, I did, though I played a recording of it.
You know what I really like about the pre-chorus is we talk a lot here about teasing the listener at the top of the song by not giving everything yet, and... the tension release concept of songwriting, right? Mm-hmm. So the verse creates tension, and I go, oh, another verse, more tension. And the pre-chorus, you actually say, wait a minute. You said, I'm just going to think a minute.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you the chorus yet. And probably the second, third, fourth time you hear it through, you're going, get to the chorus, get to the chorus. No, we got to ching, ching, ching. Wait a minute. So I really like, again, it's craft, where you say, you're going to get this fabulous chorus that rocks, and it's going to come, not yet, and I'm going to give you something a little bit different before that. Mm-hmm. Because I talk always about the changes in songs, and I love the change from your out of your verse into your pre-chorus, and then out of your pre-chorus into your chorus, the changes are very dramatic. And we have a tweet or a Twitter or
we do.
Something.
Marla Kishimoto.
Marla.
Listening to Jeremy Voltz on Song Talk Radio. He's so good. Happy face. Fun to listen to, and it's cool to hear him talking about his songs. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marla.
Thanks, Marla.
Is she a friend?
Star.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. I do know Marla. Okay. I sing with her. She is great.
Oh, right. Cool.
I want to take one issue with one line and
sure.
the way that it scans. I won't see the forest for the trees felt a little bit rushed. Like just one syllable too many, maybe.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, can't see the forest.
Where is this?
Can't see the end of the first verse.
I won't see the forest for the trees. It was rushed.
It was a little bit rushed. I'm thinking, can't see the forest for the trees, maybe would scan better. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, that actually used to be another line, and I changed it to that. And it's always felt not... It's not ever been exactly what I wanted, I think.
Yeah, without the lyrics, you wouldn't hear that it's forest for the trees, because it was a... Whoosh, went fast, really.
Yeah, yeah, it goes by fast. But I'm only pointing that out because everything else scans really, really well, and that line sort of pops out.
How did you do it on the recording?
Yeah, let me see here. What do we got? Oh, yeah. Because it's me, I won't see the forest for the trees.
The forest, okay, forest there. For, yeah. Forest, but that's not the way forest is.
I think one of an issue, because it's also a slightly complicated... Forest. Concept as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm. Is that a cliche, and, Bruce?
Yes,
cliche, you know. Police?
Yeah. No, well you can't see the forest for the trees. Is
I think
an old
if you're going to rush
right?
a line like yeah. that, though, that can be a bit of a danger.
Well,
you know?
I'm not a cliche police officer. I would want to point out that is a cliche.
You mean like you're not certified?
No, I haven't passed the
exam.
Yeah.
But
the
amateur.
Thing is, you chose to use a cliche, and that's you're a thoughtful crafty. You've got a lot of craft, so tell the listeners you chose to go with the cliche. Why?
Good question. Well, it is the last line of the verse before this. Let me think about a pre-chorus. So this is kind of the point where you can tell. And if you're going to have a cliche, I feel like the last line is kind of the place to have it, and that sort of tries to sum up. All
you're
the
not against
you've been talking
cliches
about.
In songs. You'll use them.
I try to police myself on them because I'm always worried about sounding too corny. I think that's the...
I think the scan should go forest for the trees because you. I think you did forest for the trees. Forest for the trees.
The forest. Yeah.
Forest for... And so, anyway.
Forest.
It's a minor point, but then we're talking about the craft of songwriting here, right?
Yeah. Well,
and Neil, I think it's important.
Details, right?
You're both drummers, so he's talking about where the syllable lands on the beat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
how it scans. And I think there could be some improvement there.
Well, I think it's also... You know, sometimes you do have a song which has a line which is tough, and you do have to just hammer it, you know, until you get it right and try. And you might have to try like 500 different ones. I read a book called 88 Songwriting Mistakes and How to Fix Them or something. Mm. It's actually on our resources page, except now it's 101. but they sort of said that, you know, they had a song which took them years because it had one line which they just couldn't kind of work out. And there's been a couple of times people have... There's this one song that one of our guests wrote, and I love it. It's a great song, except there's this one line at the end, and I'm surprised her producer didn't make a change it because it's really rough and it's scanned and it doesn't feel right, and it kills the whole song.
Ooh, really?
And I'm thinking of, like, you know, if you got a line like that, sit down and and just say, look, this line is not good enough, and you have to bash away at it. Elvis Costello says he works on songs for years until he gets those lines worked out.
Yeah, I mean, even you this, know? Like... Last week, I sent you a recording of this that didn't have that bridge. That bridge was put in this
one.
So
yeah.
Every song is sort of constantly evolving.
Yeah.
Is the recording very different from what you just did?
It's imagine sort of a Stevie Wonder style.
Are you going to be releasing it?
I would like to get it into the studio with some real pro players.
Oh, great. Okay.
Really, just back on that Forest for the Trees line, that may be an opportunity as well to sort of play with the cliche and don't play the cliche the way it's always been played and take it away from the cliche. And I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah,
but
turn it on its head.
I can't see the trees for the forest.
Yeah, here's the forest. Where are the trees?
Around. Yeah,
I'm in the woods, but there's no tree. I don't know.
I might that line. If there's anything that I would change in the song, that line's maybe one of it. I don't mind the cliche cheapness of it doesn't bother me too much because...
And sometimes when you turn it on its head, it gets even cheesier,
yes,
cornier.
It's weird because that cliche, I feel like, is an odd choice for the content of the verse. Like,
it is, actually, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a subtle cliche that's like usually used in thoughtful dialogue. Like, So I kind of like the fact that it doesn't quite fit, but...
Yeah. And the only thing, right?
Syllabically, I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah, and really, all you need is something that rhymes with reeling.
Yeah.
So you could very well jettison that line and come up with something
absolutely
better.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because although he doesn't have to rhyme with reeling, because the first half of the verse doesn't have that kind of rhyme either. So if you're going to establish a rhyme scheme, it's a good idea to keep. With it.
Right,
you know, again, there's no hard, fast rules.
No, of course not.
Mm-hmm. So where do you want to take your songwriting when it's, as you look to the future? Do you have any long-range goals or plans with your career? Songwriting career.
Oh, career, yeah.
Career as a musician. Yeah. Do you have a career? Yeah. You have a career, right? You have a day job?
I don't. I just finished school, just finished my PhD, so I said I'm going to take some time and before... looking into, I'll probably go into data science or something like that. But before doing that, I'm going to just pursue music for a bit. I've had these song ideas. I've never had the time to get them out and perform them and play them. And so that's what I'm doing now, and just trying to put down as much stuff as possible, as much content. So
great.
Just trying to write and chug out
so
as many songs.
So the career path would be in the mathematics field, and it would be something data, you said?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But I mean, I also don't want to close the door on music. I would love to be a professional musician.
Would you like to be a Canadian superstar?
Who wouldn't want to be a Canadian superstar?
Go to Los Angeles then and then come back.
Exactly.
I am American, so it makes it easy with the whole...
That's right. Have you performed in the States at all? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I used to perform with bands all the time when I was at university at Ohio State.
Well, I always hear from bands who would want to go to the States, it's problematic because you need all the paperwork and yada, yada, yada.
So I've got that.
You don't have that issue at all, then,
no.
Do you?
But you couldn't take a Canadian band, though. You'd have to pick up a band down there.
Yeah, I would probably just hire session musicians down there if I did a U.S. tour.
Right on.
Have you thought about going down to Nashville?
I've definitely thought about it. Yeah, it sounds cool. I don't know if I'm... I think the next stage in my musical career has to be having some professional-sounding recordings. Because the stuff...
Nashville.
Yeah.
Remember the Nashville... Yeah. What do they call the Nashville North? Nashville...
Nashville House by SoCan. If you go to SoCan.ca...
Yeah, like free accommodation, isn't it?
Yeah, you get free accommodation to go down there and basically hang out in Nashville. SoCan's a great organization.
But I was thinking, Phil, of that group of singer-songwriters called Nashville North, because remember I was doing that songwriter circle, the Nashville-style songwriters sort of at the 120 Diner?
Mm.
Those guys have got – just Google Nashville North – Toronto, what they do is they told us about a system down there where you go to Nashville to do demos.
Mm-hmm.
It's really inexpensive. And what they do is all the best players in the industry are there and they drop in that day. So you could have Neil Young's drummer, so-and-so's whatever. And they're the session players in Nashville.
Wow.
And this guy sets up, he's going to do demo day, right? So you go in, they learn it in 60 seconds.
And then they're showing up for a number of different songwriters.
Right.
So it's cheap. It's cheaper because you're getting a bulk
it's
rate.
Like,
kind of
it's like headshot
like
day.
Yeah.
We got another tweet in from, from Amy Everett. Jeremy Bolt sounds amazing on Song Talk Radio. Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
Awesome.
Yeah. Amy, it's everybody from the choir.
Yeah.
It's good to have 14 in the choir because then it's a lot of calls coming.
Amy Everett is my lovely wife.
But Jeremy, if somebody wanted to get more of your music, how would they get that?
So I have a SoundCloud page that I post sort of my bedroom demo stuff and a Facebook page.
What's the SoundCloud page?
Yep. It's Jeremy-Volts, soundcloud.com/Jeremy-Volts.
All right.
Yeah, hyphen is the character hyphen, not the word hyphen.
We'll have all those links on the show post when we...
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And I think that's about all the time we have. We're just about ready to wrap up here. Time flies when you're hearing good music.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming in, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me. This is
great.
It's
wonderful. Great stuff.
And come back. We're booking for the summer now. We'd like to have you back when you've got some new tunes.
Sure thing.
And always interested to see how our guests progress, right, and move on. It would be great. Stay in touch. And please, listeners, send us your impressions on Twitter at Song Talk Radio. You can email us at feedback@songtalk.ca. We're on Facebook and YouTube, Song Talk Radio. And stop by the good old site, songtalk.ca. Yes, websites are still around. I think they'll be around for a while. Mm-hmm. Also, subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes at songtalk.ca/iTunes and leave us a review there because that makes more people want to go there. Will you do that for us?
Yeah, I'll
yeah, okay. For your own, podcast. I love it. And sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. Lots of interesting articles there. Mm-hmm. And you can find the links to all the products, books, and web services, like the 88 Mistakes of Songwriting. That's on our website. Just go to songtalk.ca/resources. If you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup. That's Sunday, March 26th from 1 to 4. Show up a little bit early to sign up if you want to have your song heard at the Transact. And by the way, you don't have to perform live. You can bring a little MP3 on your what? Your phone. Your memory stick, your computer.
Anything with a headphone jack. We had a dude with one of the new iPhones that doesn't have a headphone jack.
Oh, nice.
So he had to put his phone up against the microphone, and that seemed to work okay.
Whatever, you know. Have it on your old 8-track if you want.
I'm just saying there's no Bluetooth in the room.
There's no Bluetooth in the room. Okay. So check that out. It's free to attend. We'd like you to join up on Meetup if you could. So it's Songwriters Roundtable on Meetup so we know who's coming. You can have enough, you know, cheese and crackers. No, we don't have that, but there is a bar. Songtalk.ca/meetup. We'd like to thank CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto for putting up with us, our so-called shenanigans. We'd like to thank Vanessa Vreeland for looking after the social media channels tonight.
And
Vanessa.
I need a Diet Coke. 810 Ryan being on our board. And
Tawny.
Most of all, we'd like to thank you, the home listener, whether you're at home or abroad.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. You might be anywhere in the world right now, right?
Could be abroad or a gent.
Didn't we have somebody from... Didn't we have somebody from... We had somebody listening in from England, Kuwait, all kinds of places. If you're on Twitch, I better just go home now. If you're on Twitter, you can follow Neil at neilmodi_.com. Phil at...
The Phil Emery.
Vanessa at sunny_Vanessa. Bruce at Bruce Herrett, 2 R's and 2 T's. And follow Etan at Tawny, TAWNIE_R. And please stop by the website at SongTalk. That's a long ending. Website at songtalk.ca to browse past shows and find out how you could be a guest on our show. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Keep on writing.
See you next time.
Good night.